Novel Audio presents The Queen and the Cure, Book 2 in the Bird and the Sword Chronicles, by Amy Harmon. Read for you by Steve West. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be a healer, make me not a ruler of the people. Isaiah 37. Prologue. Light glanced off of the empty throne and streaked across the wide room, peeking around corners and climbing the walls. Silence was the only occupant. Something fluttered overhead, breaking the stillness. Vines with leaves so emerald they appeared black in the shadows wrapped their way around the rocks and past the windows, filtering the light and casting the interior in a wash of green. The castle was holding her breath. She'd been holding her breath for so long. There were no animals inside the castle walls, maybe a small mouse or a bird in the forest of trees, but no grazing cattle or galloping horses. No dogs barked, no lazy cats sunned themselves on the rock walls, no pigs in the sty or chickens in the coops. Nothing that required care, nothing that needed tending to. But the spiders had been busy. Webs clung and quivered, draped over the portraits and the sconces on the walls, swinging from the chandeliers and tapestries, creating an illusion of lace on every surface. Goblets and silver saucers were set upon the long banquet table, the platters and bowls filled with empty expectations, making a long, neat row down the center. Beyond the castle yard, rows of trees, one beside the other, the branches intertwining and their trunks pressed together like lovers in the dark, stretched in an impenetrable ring around the castle, a forest of silent watchers, living but lost in timelessness. Trees of every kind, interspersed and interwoven, created a dense wall encircling the castle. Some trees grew only as high as a tall man, while others soared into the sky, their trunks wider than a circle of six maidens with their hands joined in a Mayday dance. Upon closer inspection, some of the trees had faces, a series of hollows and rises that gave each one personality and character. One had the look of a dozing giant, one the appearance of a child at play. The trees were not aware of the passing of days or the turn of the seasons. They simply slept, locked inside, where nothing could touch them or take them away. No one had thought to wake them and tell them the terror had passed. Chapter 1.
Everything has an origin story. Every place, every person. We come from the womb of a woman, who came from the womb of a woman, who came from the womb of a woman. We inherit gifts and weakness. We are born in triumph and strife. We are swaddled in kindness or indifference. And we are made to learn and walk among others who have their own origin stories, their own burdens, and their own history.
Sorsha's voice was low and lilting as she bathed the feverish head of her aging master, telling her stories that calmed and comforted, distracting the old woman from her pain and her fear. Death hovered around the small stone house, scratching at the door, peeping through the windows, impatient to make its claim.
What is your origin story, Sorsha?
The old woman pleaded, a question she'd asked 100 times.
I don't know mine, Mistress Mina,
Sorsha soothed.
You must go and find it,
the old woman insisted weakly.
Go where?
Sorsha asked patiently. The conversation had become almost a ritual.
Your gift will lead you.
Why do you insist on calling it a gift?
Sorsha pressed. Mina sighed heavily.
You know why. You know the legend. Tell me the story again.
Sorsha did not sigh, though the story that filled her head was one she'd told so many times it seemed rote and tired, devoid of magic or truth.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?